with news, commentary, controversy, and information about officiating high school sports, this is Officiating Oklahoma. Now here's your host, Jason Seichel.
Hey guys, Jason again. I'm going to do a few episodes. It's going to be over rule knowledge. And, you know, your foundation where you need to start at in the rule book is essentially going to be Rule 2. Rule 2 talks strictly about definitions of the rules. And if you don't know this terminology, you cannot get anywhere when it comes to educating yourself. Since it's football season, we're going to be going over some football stuff. I'm going to be talking about this first episode. It's going to be blocking in the back and holding. Those are two of the major fouls that are called, and they are called incorrectly. Some of the assistance I'm going to get is I'm going to be reading to you out of the Reading Study Guide. If you officiate sports and you don't know what the Reading's Study Guide to Football Rules is, then you don't officiate. If you've got the rule book, then I would say that you have to have this study guide. It will break down items for you. It talks more in depth about the rules and how they're applied. It assists you. This thing is an abundance of knowledge in this book. I've not only been to multiple clinics to get myself educated as far as the mechanics go of the game and know where to be at and where I'm supposed to be looking at in order to enforce these rules, but this Reading's Guide is something that I don't think you should live without. You should always reference a rule book. To me, after every game, you're going to have something that you need to look up, make sure you did right, that you're doing correctly. Or you might have, and, you know, we all do it. We all make mistakes. You might have made a mistake, and you need to educate yourself so it doesn't happen again. If you don't make mistakes when you're officiating, then you're not doing anything. Everybody messes up. Everyone makes mistakes. I mean, we're not like coaches. We probably get it right, you know, 95% of the time where they say a coach when he's calling his plays. I mean, how often does he get it right? If a coach was correct all the time on offense, then every single play he called would be a touchdown. So if he runs, you know, 100 plays in a game and scores 3 touchdowns, then his accuracy, I guess you could say, of being correct is only 3%. And here we are as sports officials. If, you know, we officiate a game and our accuracy is 98%, it's still not good enough. So, anyway, we're going to start with blocking in the back. A block in the back is going to be similar to clipping. Blocking in the back is a foul that occurs above the waist from behind, where clipping is below the waist and from behind. You'll hear this during the game. There's a lot of times where people will be, you know, hollering about blocking the back, or they like to yell clipping a lot when there's no clipping. It's actually blocking the back. But I'm going to read to you blocking in the back out of the rule book. It says blocking in the back is a block against an opponent when the initial contact is in the opponent's back. It's inside the shoulder blades and below the helmet and above the waist. And it's not against an opponent who is the runner or pretending to be the runner. Okay? It's a great definition. It tells you exactly what it is. A block in the back is between the shoulder blades, below the helmet, and above the waist. You go into the Reading's Guide, and I'm going to read this to you out of the Reading's Guide. It tells you block in the back similar to an infraction, such as clipping. It says it is contact in the back that's above the waist, inside the shoulders, and below the helmet. Contact on the back of the arm or the shoulder is not a foul. See, in other words, you'll have people that you'll be officiating and they'll get hit on their shoulder from behind, and you have people screaming about blocking the back. Well, It's called blocking the back, your back. It's not called blocking the back of the shoulder. It's blocking the back. And another thing is you'll get is if they're in the free blocking zone to snap and the opponent is blocked in the back, it's non-existent. If the defender, say he spins on a blocker who is attempting a legal block, then the block is legal. You can engage an opponent in the front, and if he turns and you're still engaging him and he's trying to pursue an opponent and you push him in the back and he goes down, that is not blocking in the back. The player initiated a legal block and the defender caused that block to be different, to change it where it would be in the back. So you're going to side on, you're going to give the defensive player the benefit of the offensive player the benefit of the doubt. A defensive player can block in the back as long as it's above the waist and they are trying to get to a runner. That it's the biggest thing that gets misapplied is, and I wish you guys could see the drawing that I have to look at. Blocking in the back, the area that you have to initiate the initial charge, is a very small area. It's not as big as what people think it is. So, and you've got to see the initial block. If I played ball one time where we had a player, we were on defense and an offensive player busts out. He's getting a long run. And one of the guys I'm playing with runs over in front of an offensive player and then bam, just hits the ground. Okay. The official, I'm hoping was new, didn't see the initial contact, but he threw his flag anyway and called a block in the back. Even though there was absolutely no contact, he still called that block in the back. So just because you look over and you see a player that's landing forward, you'll hear guys say sometimes that if he's falling forward, then he was probably blocked in the back. Well, if you don't see the initial block, then you have nothing. You are going to assume that that block was legal, because if you can't see it, then you can't call it. And if a coach is that upset and he saw the whole thing, then the only thing you can say is, coach, I was looking this way. When I looked over, I saw the player falling. I never saw the initial block or the initial charge. And he can't fault you for that. There are other areas, specific areas, that we have to watch. So if you're watching, say, the runner, and then out in front of him was a block, and you're running a four-man or something, and you don't see that a block that's in front of him or even behind him, and he got no help, there's nothing you can do. You've got primary responsibilities that you got to take care of, and that's always going to come first. Okay, let's go ahead and move forward. I could talk about the block in the back and holding for hours, but I'm not going to, torment you guys with that. Okay, the next thing is going to be holding. And I heard this just here recently. There was a newer official I was calling with, and I heard him talking to another newer official, and they said, yeah, man, you could call holding on every play. And I didn't say anything. I probably should have, but I just rolled my eyes and walked away. You cannot have holding on every single play. They'll tell you if there's a philosophy when it comes to holding. All right. If the player, there's two things. It's got to be bigger than Dallas. It's got to be huge, obvious to call a hold. Or if he holds him and impedes his progress, then you've got to hold. Okay. If you've got two interior linemen that are standing there next to each other, and they're standing there playing patty cake or whatever you want to call it, and the offensive player grabs a hold of him and is holding him inside of his by his numbers, and the defensive player is just standing there, and or even just throws his hands up in the air like, hey, you've got to call this, he's holding me, then he's not holding him good enough because he is not impeding any kind of progress that he's making. Now, if he reaches in there and he's holding him and that defensive player goes to move and then you see an outstretched arm, a jersey that's stretched out, him make a weird twist and just one arm come out trying to make the tackle, well, his progress is being impeded somehow. And, you know, if you're an offensive lineman and that guy goes to move like that, you've got to open your hands and let go. If he doesn't open his hands and let go and he's holding on to him, then he is he's impeding his progress. The other thing is that you can have holding on offense and on defense. It doesn't say, and you'll hear coaches say this a lot, is you can't hold on defense. It's a load of bull. Okay, I've talked about this before, and you know, the rule is a player may not grasp or connect with a teammate in any way just prior to or while blocking an opponent. That is, you know, there's interlock blocking, and you know, there's all types of different kind of holding that you can't do. But on offense and defense, the rule is pretty much the same. There's no difference. I mean, and, you know, this one, holding is going to be in Rule 9, but it's also in Rule 2. It'll talk about it there. But it's pretty simple. It's cut and dry. When it comes to the defense, the rule is pretty, it's almost exactly like offense, and it for the offense. But anyway, it says a defensive player shall not use his hands or arms to hook, lock, clamp, grasp, encircle, or hold in an effort to restrain an opponent other than the runner. Okay, for the offense, it says that he shall not use his hands, arms, or legs to hook, lock, clamp, grasp, encircle, or hold in an effort to restrain an opponent. The offensive and defensive holding are almost exactly the same, except on defense, the only person you can hold is the runner. And, you know, one of the things that they're going to talk about is, you know, a lot of coaches and teams and all that will complain and say that, you know, defense can hold and that kind of stuff. Well, here's what it says of the Reddings Guide, and I'm a big believer in this. It says, in most cases, there is no advantage to holding an offensive player, so it is not frequently seen. The exception includes a receiver, such as a tight end, who may be held to disrupt the timing on a possible pass route, and the guards who may be held to prevent them from pulling so that they may block at the point of attack. You know, and you'll see things like a pull and shoot. Like if a team's going to kick a field goal, you'll see a defensive guard grab the guard from the offense and grab him and pull him as the linebacker shoots through to block that. Okay, that's defensive holding. You can't hold an opponent, and that's why you don't see it called on the defense as much, and you'll hear a lot of complaining about it. Also, during like a passing down, you'll see it a lot with an end on a timing route. They'll run out, say a five and out or whatever you want to call it, and if the defensive player holds him or holds him up, then the timing's thrown off on that passing play. And here's the other thing you'll hear is that you'll hear them, the defensive guy say is that a defender can block or hold up that receiver in the 5-yard chuck as long as it's within 5 yards. That's a myth. That's bullcrap. You cannot hold him up or block or hold him, period. It doesn't matter if it's 5 inches from the line of scrimmage, 5 yards, or 15, you can't do it. So if the receiver's got a timing play and he goes to run it and that defensive player holds him and stops him from running his route, okay, you've got to hold. Then that's where your sideline official was going to basically put his hand on his flag and get ready, because if you have no pass thrown, then you have a hold on the defense. If a pass is thrown, then you're going to have defensive pass interference. So that's why you're going to be slow on that flag, because you can have two different things there. That was an issue that we've run into before. But, yes, the defense can hold on to somebody, and it is a foul just like it is on the offense. You don't see it call as much. But the one thing you got to remember is that point is big with this on holding is point of attack. If it's not big and you see if you've got a sweep out to the left and the right tackle commits a hold that's not real big, you let it go because it's not a point of attack. The hold has to be at the point of attack, and it has to interfere or impede the progress of the player making the play on that or impede the play. If you've got a hold that's away from the play, it's not at point of attack, but it's something that's so huge that people in the next county can see it, then yes, you've got to call it. You can't let something that big go. So that's going to be the things I'm going to leave you with this week is, you know, blocking the back. Make sure it's between the shoulder blades, above the waist, and below the helmet. You know, below the waist is going to be a clip. But anyway, it's got to be in that area, the back of the shoulder, the back of the arm, the shoulder, anywhere in those areas is not a block in the back. The other thing I'm going to leave you with is holding. Yes, any player can hold, but you cannot have a hold on every play. It's not going to happen. It's got to impede his progress, or it's got to be huge. If it's on the opposite side of the field, it's not at the point of attack, so you're going to let it go. Anyway, guys, thanks for watching. And don't forget, hit me up on, you know, I've got Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, you know, Anchor FM. Look on all that stuff. And when you find it, when you do a search for it, you can go to Officiating Oklahoma. Or you can type in like Facebook or Twitter.com and then /officiating. Okay. Anyway, guys, thanks for listening. Y'all have a good week.
Thanks for listening to Officiating Oklahoma, hosted by 20-year veteran sports official Jason Seichel. Please visit our website at officiatingok.com and be sure to join us soon for another episode of Officiating Oklahoma.